And on Sunday morning, looking at the little promise mentioned seven times in the scriptures, I mentioned to the folks each service that I don't know where I've been, but I never did catch it until the last time he said it. But he said it over thousands of years of Bible history. But I caught it the last time he said it in Hebrews. He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said," here's the little promise, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But that's the seventh time he said it. He done said it six other times over thousands of years of Bible history. And so we've been looking at some of those occasions. We noticed in Deuteronomy 31, he said it to Moses twice when he was fixing to die. And we found that it was a promise worth parting with. I tell you, if you're fixing to leave this world, you better make sure he's with you. He's the only one who knows the crossing. He's the only one who's been over and back. And I want to go with somebody who knows the way, don't you? I don't want to go with no angel. They never made no crossing. Huh? You can hear fluttering around your bed. I don't hear no fluttering around my bed. Huh? He said, he was coming after me. He knows the way across. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not stepping into the unknown. I'm not stepping in the dark. I tell you, if he's with you, you step out there, you better have some Polaroid sunglasses. It'll be the brightest world you ever stepped into. Huh? He's there. He said he's going to light up the whole thing. Ain't no sun over there. I'll light the hand out of that, don't you? Then we notice that little promise mentioned again in Joshua chapter number 1. When the children of Israel were fixing to cross over to Jordan, those things that are unknown, those things that are insurmountable. And we notice that it was a promise worth pondering. He's never wanted us to ponder our Jordans, try to figure out how we can get across. Quit it. He said, go to pondering this. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That Ark of the Covenant had gone with them for 40 years. And he said, we're going to stop that. He said, it's not me going with you. He said, I want you to fall in and follow me. He said, I want you to go with me now. And I'm going across the Jordan. That's a promise worth pondering. I want to look at another time that little promise is mentioned. If you've got your Bible tonight, 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. We've just been looking this days at a promise worth repeating. He just thought it was worth saying it over and over again. So hundreds and hundreds of years. Bible history, it just kept popping up. And we're looking at those times. Tonight, we're interested in chapter number 28 of 1 Chronicles. Want to look at verses 20 and 21. Solomon is fixing to build God a house. And prior to him building him a house, David gives his son, Solomon, this little promise. Verse number 20 says, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it." That's an interesting statement, ain't it? He didn't say, try to do it. I'll do the best you can. He ain't interested in you doing the best you can. Oh, no. He ain't interested in you trying. Oh, no. Do it. Just do it. He said, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee." Here it is. "He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee, for all the service of the house of God there shall be with thee, for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service, all the princes, all the people, will be holy at thy command." You may be seated tonight. Solomon's fixing to build God a house. David, his daddy, tells him, he said, "You better get a hold of this before you start building God a house. He'll never leave you nor forsake you." I'd like to take that promise tonight and that setting of building God a house and look at some thoughts that it's a promise worth pursuing. Promise worth pursuing. Of course, you know there has been three periods of biblical history where there has been the thought of God having a house, a place where He could live. In the beginning days of Genesis to Deuteronomy, God dwelt in a tent. It was a tabernacle. It was movable. They would move it about. Wherever they went, they would put it up or take it down. And don't get to thinking they were camping out. Oh no, that tent was worth millions of dollars. They had enough gold in there to float Fort Knox. It was quite a tent they'd set up for to worship Him in. But when Solomon come along, he wanted to build God a permanent place. And so he set out to build God a house, a place where He could dwell. Of course, he told Solomon, he said, you could never satisfy me in building me a house. He said, the heavens couldn't contain me, the earth couldn't contain me. He said, I'm too big. But anyway, he built him a house. Of course, it must have been a masterpiece. Old Queen of Sheba come over there and took a look at the house, and she hyperventilated. She was looking for a paper bag to breathe into. She's trying to get a breath. She said, my breath left me when I saw the house that Solomon had built for God. But we come on over into the New Testament, and he's not living in a tent anymore. He's not living in a temple anymore. He said, I'm going to get inside of my people. He said, I'm going to make you my house. So now God's called on you and I, collectively as a body, or as individuals if we're saved, to build God a house. Build God a house. And if you're going to build God a house, you're going to be an image bearer. You're going to tell the world, this is what God is like. I'm His house. You're going to have to teach the youngins how to be a little church, a little image bearer. And I'm telling you, it ain't going to be easy. Oh no, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to get the proper building program. You're talking about red tape, building permits. Woo, son. Just throw up here a minute. He ain't going to live just anywhere. Huh? I heard an old preacher, friend of mine not long ago, somebody asked him, said, preacher, I'd love to give up my cigarettes. He said, do you ever smoke? He said, yeah. He said, I smoked for 15 years. He said, how'd you give them up? He said, if I tell you, will you promise you won't laugh at me? Old boy said, oh, gracious, no, preacher, I won't laugh at you. Tell me. He said, one day I was smoking a cigarette, and he said, I felt somebody whisper inside of me saying, I'm tired of living in a smokehouse. Never touched them no more. If there's something in there. Now, if there ain't nothing in there, ain't nothing going to talk to you. You're building God a house now. Just building God a house. Of course, I am confident of this thought tonight. But there's a big difference in Him being in you and abiding in you. Being at home inside of you. Jesus said over in John 15, if I abide in you and you abide in me, whatever you ask me, I'll do it. If I'm at home inside of you. I've got all the rooms. You don't have any rooms where it says, do not enter. I'm controlling the whole house. He said, I'll do anything for you ask. I'm abiding inside of you. So there's a big difference in Him being inside of you and Him abiding inside of you. But, you know, with that thought, while we're on that thought, I'm not asking you tonight if you ever made a profession of faith. I ain't never asked you if you prayed the sinner's prayer. You've been down the Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I'd ask if you ever joined a Baptist church, Methodist church, Pentecostal church. And I'm not asking if you ever been baptized. I'm asking you tonight, are you 100% sure God's living inside of you? He made a house out of you. I just don't know if he is or not. You make yourself a note. If God's not in you, you're going to hell when this is over with. You never made a house out of it. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. Oh, hell be full of good people. He's got to have moved inside of him. Oh, preacher, I don't know if he's in there or not. Hey, if he's in there, you know it. Something that big move inside of you. Created the whole universe. He said the heavens couldn't contain me. The earth couldn't contain me. If he moved inside of you, you know it. You won't wonder about it. You'll know it. I'm talking about a promise worth pursuing. Now, we're going to find out in this building program that Solomon had, there's a big difference tonight in him being with you and him being on you. I was wondering tonight, just not being nosy tonight, you got any historical evidence God's on you? Has there ever been an occasion when God got on you? I promise you, if God ever gets on you, you won't do this. Oh. You ever had God on you? That is the highest point in the building program. If you're building God a house, sometime in the midst of your building program before you die, you want God to get on the house. Not just in the house, on the house. So magnified in this building program. If you've got your Bible there, I want us to begin tonight. I want us to look first of all tonight at the principles for building. We're building God a house. If God's inside of you, He's made a house inside of you, and He wants you to build Him a house. He wants you to be an image bearer. He wants you to be able to tell the world, look at me, this is what God is like. This is the way God talks. This is the way God acts. This is the way God reacts. This is the way God dresses. This is God being bore out to the world. If I'm living inside of you. Man, I tell you, that's a tall order. Huh? Principles for building. If you've got your Bible there, 1 Chronicles chapter number 28, verses 2 and 3. I want us to see, first of all, there's the principle of intentions. The principle of intentions. If God's dwelling inside of you, you're going to have to check your intentions. Check your intentions. The Bible says in verse number 2, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and he made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, shed blood. David was already excited about building God a house, but he said, David, I want you to build no house. He said, your hands got blood on them. I want you to build me a house. But don't miss this. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show it to you. Hold your finger right there. Flip over to 2 Chronicles, just a few pages to your right, to chapter number 6. I'm talking about the principle of intention. God is interested in the intention of your heart tonight if you're going to build Him a house. He says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse number 7, now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. David never built God a house, but it was the intentions of his heart to build God a house. And God said, because your intentions were right, he said, I'll give you credit for building me a good house. You listen to me now. He is a God tonight that knows our motives and intentions. He knows some of you boys, the only reason you come over here is because you're looking at the girls. That's your only intention. You can't come over here for no God. Huh? Yeah. Some of you girls come over here looking at the boys. Listening to me tonight? He knows your intentions. Knows your intentions. If we'll build God a house, got to have the right intentions, right motives. Right intentions, right motives. I hear somebody say sometimes, well, I tell you, God knows my heart. That's what scares me. He knows what you really like. You know what that mask off? A religious mask. Oh, he knows the real you. Principles of intention. Back to our text, 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. Not only is there the principles of intention, there's the principles of integrity. Principles of integrity. I notice in chapter number 28 in verse number 9, we're talking about God building God a house. God ain't going to dwell nowhere, just any old way. Oh, no. He ain't coming. You're not going to live like hell and end up in heaven. Think God's inside of you. It ain't going to happen. You ain't going to come to church half the time and then go to heaven. Oh, you'd be bored in heaven. Huh? Can't take more than an hour now. What are you talking about, eternity? Oh, no. Boy, ain't no games up. Ain't no Walmarts up there. If he's inside of you, it'll be the principle of integrity. Watch the text. Look at verse number 9. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy fathers and serve him with what? Time out! Hold on! A perfect heart. Whoa. Man, I've been trying to do the best I can. Won't work. He said, I want a perfect heart. That little word, perfect heart, is an interesting little phrase. It means completely and fully surrendered. The little word heart deals with one's thinker. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart. It deals with one's feelings. Let not your heart be troubled. It believes with a man's doings. He says, as a man purposes in his heart. If God is dwelling inside of you, you ought to sense that something inside of you wants complete surrender of all your thoughts, all your feelings, and all your doings. Must be the principle of integrity. I was wondering tonight, you say God's living inside of you. Anything like that going on inside of you? Huh? Something just keeps pulling you. When you think wrong, you can't think that. You got to quit thinking that. You go to do something. No, you can't do that. I watch Baptists sometimes. You know, you can get away with a lot of things. God won't let me get away with nothing. Huh? Just won't let me get away with nothing. Calling my hand on everything. Watch the text now. He says in verse number 9, and with a willing mind. That's an interesting little phrase. That little phrase, willing mind, means with great delight and an exchanged will. I hear people talking all the time, they've got a free will. Ah, bless God, I got a free will of choice. Hey, I'll do you a favor. You can have mine, and then you have two. Because my free will, you mark it down, has never took me to God. Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God. My free will has never gone towards God. It always takes me away from God. The only thing that ever took me towards God is when I got a new will inside of me and I wanted God then. You ought to sense something inside of you pulling you towards God. Something pulling you away, and there's a war going on. If you're building God a house, you're going to be an image bearer. Talking about the principles of integrity, principles of intention. But I notice in our text, if you've got it there, verse number 9, there's the principle of interest, what you're interested in, what your appetite, what your hunger. What do you, when you're flicking through them channels, where do you stop? Huh? You listen to me. He says this little thought in our text, verse number 9. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts, understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found. Seek him. That little word seek is an interesting word. It means to pant after. Would you picture your own heart tonight, if God's inside of you, would you picture your heart like this? I got to have God. or you just take him and leave him? You spend any time with him today? Spend any time in the Word today? Pat now. Just got to have God. That is the indication that he's made a house out of you. He's living inside of you. He said, if you seek me, he said, I can be found. But he says in verse number 9, he said, if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. If you can just turn your back on him and walk away, you ain't got no time for him. You write yourself a note. When it comes time to die, he ain't going to be there for you. Matter of fact, it says on Proverbs, he'll laugh at you. He said, when your calamity comes, you're in a jam, you need to call 911. As Sis sung tonight, you'll be singing, I need thee every hour. He'll be up there, ha, 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 laughing at you. Whoa, you don't like that. Oh, no, but that's what he said. There's a principle of interest. If he's building your house, because you know tonight, there is only one way that he's ever been able to tell his people, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's only one reason. Only one reason why he's able to say that to you and I that are saved, building him a house. It was because of this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, him and his father had had a relationship where they had always been with each other. Forsook his son. How come? So he could tell you and I. He said, you can mark it down. If I'm dwelling inside of you, if I've made a house out of you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Always be there for you. Oh, I love that. Don't you? That just thrills me. Thinking about it. Principles of building. But watch the text now. Not only do I see in our text here, we're talking about building God a house. I tell you, you better check what you're pursuing tonight. You better make sure you got God with you. And it's not easy to build God a house. Oh, it's extremely hard. Not only do we see there's the principles for building, but I notice in verses 11, verse number 12, verse number 18, verse number 19, there's a pattern for building. Pattern for building. Everybody gets the same pattern. Hello? I notice in our text in verse number 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. The pattern. Verse number 12, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. Again, in verse number 18, and for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern. Again, in verse number 19, all this, said David the Lord, made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. It's a pattern. That little word pattern is a model. It has the idea of a likeness, a figure. It is very similar to the word that we use in kindergarten when they take those alphabet letters and they trace them out. He said, I've left you something. He said, I want you to lay down on it. He said, I want you to trace it out. And he said, if there's anything hanging over the edges don't match the pattern, he said, get rid of it. Cut it out. Got to go. Pattern. I notice in the text, if you've got it there in front of you, verses 11 and 12, there is a precise pattern. Very precise. He gives him a pattern here about building the porch. He gives him all the details about the upper chamber, the parlors. It's a definite pattern. I want you to know tonight, Liberty Baptist ain't the pattern. Oh, no. Grace, all I got to do is line up with y'all. Just fluff my wings a little bit and don't just shove me lightly and I'll fly. Brother Ken, he ain't the pattern. If I just got to line up with him, you don't even have to shove me. Ready to fly. That's not the pattern. Jesus is the pattern. If you're living inside, he's living inside of you, you have got to be moving in your life and in your growth towards being just like him. Whoa. I don't know about you, that ain't easy. It's a precise, definite pattern. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy now, you building up the code? Huh? I mean, there's some real red tape here, buddy. First of all, you're going to have to get in this book and find out what Jesus is like. Huh? You're going to lay down on the pattern. I was reminded of the old preacher preaching on his radio broadcast that Jesus was the truth and the life and the way. And he emphasized the whole broadcast. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. Preached that hard on his radio broadcast. Had he gotten on the radio broadcast down at the post office. One of the little old Methodist sisters there in the town. She said, I heard you on the radio this morning. He said, sure enough. He said, how'd you like it? She said, I didn't agree with a word you said. He said, sure enough. What'd you agree with me about? She said, I don't believe that he is the only way. She said, you are an intelligent man enough to know that there is multiple religions. They have great sincerity. There is all kind of roads that lead to heaven. She said, let me illustrate it for you. She said, we're in the post office. It is in the center of our town. She said, there is five roads coming into our town and all of them lead to the post office. She said, it is so with God. There's all kind of roads that lead to God. She said, you don't believe that? He said, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, how come? He said, one problem. When I die, he said, I don't want to go to the post office. Are you listening to me tonight? It's a precise pattern. You've got to line up with him. You've got to line up with the Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, Catholics. Don't. Oh, no. I ain't line up with none of them. I just got to lay myself down on him. Get in this book. Feel myself with this book. Find out exactly what he's like. Lay myself down on that. Cut around on that pattern. Everything that's not like him, it's got to go. His old Barney told Andy, nip it, nip it, nip it. Got to go. Not like him. Precise pattern. But I notice in the Scriptures, not only is there a precise pattern, there's a power for the pattern. Oh, no, he's not going to leave you to yourself, then. You just got to do this by yourself. Oh, no, it's too hard. Ain't no way you can be like Jesus if he don't help you. Watch the text. There's power for this pattern. He says in verse number 12, in the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, if he is living inside of you, you make a house out of you. He's living inside of you in the person of the Holy Ghost. The New Covenant says in Ezekiel, he said, I will put my Spirit inside of you, and I, not you, he said, I cause you to keep my commandments. I will cause you to walk with me. He said, I'll do it. How? Precise pattern. There's power for the pattern. Oh, I'm glad tonight that he gave us power for the pattern. You know tonight, it's easier to join a Baptist church than it is Family of God. Huh? Oh, yeah. Easier to join a Baptist church than it is Family of God. All you got to do is come down and make some kind of profession. Just tell them you pray and you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And they'll baptize you. Some places you go there and baptize you that morning. Huh? I was raised up all my life. My mom and daddy raised me up in a church. They had a particular membership. Particular membership. They wasn't out trying to get people. It was a big church. Oh, they had a bunch of people. But they wasn't out trying to get none. They were very selective into who they let join. Had a particular membership. Matter of fact, if you went there and made a profession, they watched you for a year before they baptized you or let you join. I don't know. You know, while I was pastoring, it took me a while. I pastored for 18 years, but after a while it took me. I used to start waiting for about 4 or 5 months before I baptized anybody. It saved me a lot of time putting that water in the pool. You say, well, bless God, they baptized the converts after they got saved in the book of Acts. Well, if you like Philip and you can fly in the Holy Ghost, I'd say, baptize your converts after they get saved. Yeah. Yeah. You listening to me? There's power for the pattern tonight. This is not an easy pattern. I'm going to tell you it's easy. I was thinking about my wife was at my mother-in-law's one day while I was pastoring years ago up in Virginia. She's up there visiting. And my mother-in-law was flipping through the channels. And my wife hollered and said, stop right there. Go back. It was one of those Jerry Springer shows. One of those Ricky Lake deals. They were having a show on interracial marriages. And girls that claimed to have had numerous interracial relationships. My wife looked at the TV. She said, my Lord. She said, there is two of my husband converts. I had baptized both of them gals when they was little. They wouldn't know God if he come in on a fire truck blowing a siren. Huh? Oh, Bubba, out here at the motel with some woman drunk and he die, they'll bring him over to the Baptist church and somebody will stand up talking about some little old profession he made when he was a little boy, talking about Bubba's at rest when Bubba's in hell. Yeah, he's made a house out of you. Oh, he'll straighten the house up. You listening to me? There's power for the pattern. And I'm telling you something. I'm not here selling you a bill of goods. No, I'm not here telling you it's fun to be a Christian. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not telling you here tonight. He's here to make you happy. No, he's here to make you holy. And every time when he starts making me holy, he don't make me happy. And I'm going to tell you something else. If he's living inside of you, he takes very little excuses. Now, these preachers here, Brother Jamie, we'll take all kind of excuses. We will. We probably won't say much. But you can't get much excuses by him. He ain't going to take them if he's living inside of you. You say, preacher, you prove that from the Bible? Oh, I wouldn't have brought it up. I couldn't prove it. You remember that old boy come to him one day and said, Lord, I want to follow you. He said, but my daddy just died, and I need to go bury. Now, if that was us preachers, we'd say, oh, gracious, yeah, go on and get your daddy buried and get all the wheels settled. And when you get everything back and you know you're over your mourning period, come on back over here and worship with us. That's what we'd have said. Ain't what he said. You know what he told that old boy? He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, you come follow me right now. Whoa! Man, I don't like that. Don't let him move inside of you. Huh? He'll let you live like you please, talk like you please, dress like you please, go wherever you want to, do whatever you want to, and him live in there. Won't happen. Power for the pattern. Precise pattern. Power for the pattern. But I notice in our text, there's a price for the pattern. Hey, he ain't having no fire sale. This ain't no basement sale. This ain't no garage sale on Saturday. He ain't looking for converts. He ain't sitting up there, oh, I wish somebody could say. Mm-mm. Oh, no. He got the corn on the market. I'm telling you tonight, you listen to me, it is simple to get saved. It just ain't easy. Oh, no, it'd be the hardest thing. It's costly. Watch the text. He says in verse number 14, he gave of gold by weight. He measured out the gold. Solomon's going to build him a house. He measured out the gold in weight. That little word weight in multiple, innumerable piles. Of gold. It wasn't no cheap. They won't have no fire sale. They won't have no. We're going to build God a house. We're going to have a bargain basement. We're going to have a pie sale. We're going to build God. Oh, no. It's going to be an expensive house. He's going to build God a house. He's going to live inside of it. Not going to be easy. He says in verse number 16, and by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the table. Very expensive. He says in verse number 17, also pure gold. Verse number 18, refined gold. Gold that had been in the fire. Gold that had the dross burn out of it.
If He's going to live inside of you, He will burn the devil out of you.
I mean, He's price. Awful expensive. Very expensive. Preacher, what would it cost me tonight if I'm going to have Him live inside of me and I'm going to go to heaven when I die? I tell you what it'll cost you. The songwriter said this. It'll cost you my life, my soul, my all. If you can't give Him that, He ain't living inside of you. You can pray all your prayers, make all your professions. You can go to the altar until you're blue in the face. But you must be willing. He must have done a work in your heart, giving you the willingness to give Him your life, your soul, your all. There's a price for this pattern. It's not cheap to build God. He ain't just living any old way. He's not going to live inside of you. You just go anywhere you want to. Listen to anything you want to listen to. No. It's not going to happen like that. You're not going to one day trip up and find, whoa, man, I was in heaven and I lived like a devil all my life. Man, I'm surprised I got up here. Oh, no! If you made it to heaven, you'll not be surprised. Oh, no. It's a pattern. Not only is there a pattern for the building, there's a principle for the building, but there's a promise for the building. You'll build God a house. He's not going to leave you to yourself. I'm not telling you that it's easy, because it's not. But He's going to be there for you. He said, if I move inside of you, I will assure you this. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to help you with your building program. One thing my son hates worse than anything, he's a builder over in Oconee County, building inspectors. He said, they're always there. He said, I'm a building inspector. He said, I'm going to always be there for you. I'm checking. See how your building's going. And I'm going to tell you something. If he sees something he don't like, he will give you, I'll give you 3 or 4 weeks to get that. Oh, no. I want it gone now. If he's going to live in there. Talking about God's house. There's promise for the building. I notice in verse number 20, if you've got the scripture there, there's a promise that gives hope. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. He said, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, I tell you, that promise gives me hope tonight. I'll never leave you. Oh, it's not, I'm not telling you, you know, I hear people talking about it all the time. Oh, it's fun to be a Christian. Boy, it's easy. I ain't telling you that. It ain't easy to be a Christian. Oh, no, ain't no fun to be no Christian. Huh? I see a lot of things I'd like to do. Huh? See a lot of those R-rated movies I'd like to see. Huh? Just can't do it. How come? He said he don't want to see them. What am I going to do? Huh? I'm going to watch them anyway. You might, but you'll be sorry. Huh? He'll just shrivel all up in you about 3 or 4 weeks and leave you hanging out there where you can't feel nothing. Thank God's a million miles away. You can't connect the dots, wonder what happened. Huh? Promise that gives hope. But I notice in verse number 20, there's a promise that gives Him. Not only hope, it gives Him. He says in verse number 20, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. Wonder what it would be like to have David's God. You know, David had a big one. Oh, he ain't had no little old God you play with, take him out and put him up. Oh, no. He had a God to fling stars out into space. He said he had all of them named and numbered. There's 400 billion stars in our universe alone. The sun is a star, and its size, it's a dwarf star. It's the smallest of all the stars. All of those twinkles out there are brighter and bigger than the sun. He said he put them all out there and named them and numbered them. Huh? He told Solomon, he said, what you need is my God. Huh? Well, there's the promise that gives Him. But I notice in verse number 21, there's the promise that gives help. He's not going to leave you to do this thing. This is what church is all about. You get together and you fellowship. You've got the man of God that keeps preaching to you. You can get in your own Bible. There's times of prayer that'll help you with your building program. Building God a house. It's a promise that gives help. He says it there in verse number 20, all the people will be holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy at thy command. There's a pattern. There's a promise. There's principles. Now, notice this last little thing and I'm done. Chapter number 29. There's a prayer for the building. Prayer for the building. Old Solomon built God a house. Thought maybe he might pray. Prayer for the house. I notice in chapter number 29, if you've got it there, in verse number 10, there's a prayer that mentions the beauty of his person. The beauty of his person. David begins to pray that Solomon be able to build God a real house. He said, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. He's talking about the beauty of his person. Old David had an everlasting God. He didn't have no beginning, didn't have no end, didn't have no birthday, didn't have no death day. He was everlasting. Everlasting. Oh, the beauty of his person. I notice in verse number 11, he said, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, power, glory, victory, majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Old David's just praying. What's he praying about, praise? Well, he's praying about that house and the ones dwelling inside of it. Huh? What's David doing? Oh, if he's living inside of you, you'll sense that you'll go to decreasing and he'll go to increasing. There'll be less of you and more of him. You'll find yourself very seldom having an opinion. You listening to me? You'll find yourself very seldom ever doing this. Well, let me tell you what I think. Because you'll know all that thinking and feeling stuff you do. It's just your Adamic nature. It's always haywire. You listening to me tonight? He's lifting up God. He's the central point. The beauty of his person. But I notice not only he mentions the beauty of his person, he mentions the bounty of his provision. He says in verse number 12, both riches and honor come of thee. I tell you, if you've got anything tonight, don't tell me tonight, I bless God, I'll work for everything I got. You ain't never worked for nothing you got. Never have. Nothing you've ever done give you what you got. Oh, he could have cut your hair off, left you sucking air long time ago. You got anything? He'd give it to you. You say, preacher, I don't got nothing. He did that too. Got a checkbook's in good shape tonight? He's the one did it. You got a checkbook said don't write no more checks out of this book? He did it. He can lift up, he can put down. Huh? How come? He's God. He's looking for a house he can dwell in. Ain't worried about all those little old things. All they're worried about is making sure there's a good dwelling place in there for him. Somewhere where he can prop his feet up. Be at rest. Be at ease. I notice in our text, verse number 13, old David begins to worship. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. Praise thy glorious name. He begins to worship. He begins to give him thanks. He begins to praise him. He begins to magnify him. He begins to lift him up. He begins to be clamorously foolish in public. He begins to be emotional. How come David's getting so emotional? Because God is living inside of him. Worshiping him. Worshiping him. Matter of fact, he says in verse number 15, he said, for we are strangers before thee, sojourners. He said, we're nothing but a shadow, he said. That stranger and sojourner is an interesting little word. That little word means misfits and weirdos. Preacher, what kind of people does God dwell in? Misfits and weirdos. Look out to Adam. You really can tell it right here, preacher. Huh? This church has brought them in from everywhere. Misfits, weirdos. Huh?
kind of people he gets inside of. How come he want to get inside of that crowd? They ain't going to take no glory for nothing. They know they was a misfit and a weirdo. Huh? They ain't going to stand up and say, "Ooh, look at what I did." Huh? Some of you have to have a map to get out of the parking lot into the building. Huh? Got to have one of them guide machines on the dashboard to get over to Carrollton. It's misfits and weirdos. It's the kind of people he gets inside of. How come? Ain't going to glory in nothing but in him. You're looking at old boy preaching all across the country in the 10th grade 3 different times. I had 2 guidance counselors tell me, said, "You're worthless. You'll never amount to nothing." I said, "You are right." But he come and got inside of me. So differently. Bounty of his provision. Not only do you see the beauty of his person, it's the bounty of his provision. That's prayer now. Old David praying for the building. If you're going to build God a house, you want to pray. Make sure he's with you now. I notice in our text, in verse number 25, there's a bestowment of his presence. This is why you're building. You're constantly building church, Liberty Baptist, as a group. Y'all are building God a house for one reason. You're constantly, every service, you're looking for it. You that say God's living inside of you, there's one thing you're constantly looking for. It is the peak of the building process. Watch it now. Look at verse number 25. "And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in all Israel." The little phrase "royal majesty" is the same little Hebrew word as Shekinah glory. God come and got on the house. Liberty, the only reason why you're building God a house, you're looking for those times. It won't be every service, all no. But there'll be that occasional where he'll come and get on the service. You as an individual, you're building God a house. He's living inside of you now. There's one thing you want. You want those times. It may be, I've had it happen to me when I was in the car, driving the car. Now, it's awful scary if that happens to you in the car and the other passenger ain't got God on them at the same time. They get scared. Especially you up in the mountains driving around, you know, woo, you waving your hand, you crying, weeping, just crazy. Time happened like that. Happen at the bedroom. Might happen in public. But you're looking. If you're building God a house, he's living inside of you. You want those occasions. Or there'll be a lot of distance in between. It's not something you happen every day. But there'll be those occasions when God will come and just get on the house. He came and got on Solomon's house. That's what we're looking for, is God being on his house. You know, God sent his son into this world. He said he was the expressed image of God's glory. Jesus said, "Look at me and you'll see God the Father." That's what he told Philip. He said, "Philip," he said, "I've been so long." He said, "Look at me." He said, "You seen me, you seen the Father." Jesus is gone. Now he's put you and I in this world, and he's put himself inside of us. And now he wants you and I to be able to tell the world, "Look at me. This is what God's like." You remember the Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul never said, "Follow Jesus." Oh, no. He said, "Follow me." How come? He's following Jesus. Huh? You listen to me? Image bearer. One that is in the likeness of Christ. We've got to do it. If we've got children that have come to know the Lord, if they claim to be saved, they claim to have made some kind of move towards God, they say, "I know for sure I'm going to heaven," you ought to be able to see God in them. Well, teach them how to be image bearers like him. I was thinking about, you know, old John the Baptist. They kept getting him mixed up with Jesus all the time. Don't you remember that? Jesus asked his disciples one day, he said, "Who do people think I am?" They said, "Oh, some of them think you're John the Baptist." They kept getting them mixed up. When old Jesus came around, old Herod, he said, "Ah,
He ain't nothing but John the Baptist. He said, I cut his head off. He doesn't come back. It's who Jesus is. That John the Baptist. They kept getting them mixed up. Couldn't tell them apart. John and Jesus. I was wondering, you had that problem? Down there at work. They keep getting you and Jesus mixed up. I'm telling you tonight, it's not easy. I'm not telling you people get me and Jesus mixed up. But I'm interested in them getting me mixed up with Jesus. If he's living inside of me. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, where are you at in your building program? You know, Watchman Nee, great Chinese writer yesterday. He spent 28 years in a Chinese concentration camp. He slipped around, smuggled two books out of that Chinese concentration camp. He titled them Spiritual Man 1, Spiritual Man 2. Watchman Nee in that book said, if you're a Christian, God's dwelling inside of you. He lives inside of you in a place called the Holy of Holies. There's a place in there where God's living if he saved you. It's called the Holy of Holies inside of you. I didn't have any problem when I read that in Watchman Nee's book. But I did have a problem with this. He asked in that little book, he said, have you ever been in there? In that place. In there where he dwells. Holy of Holies. Dwelling place of God. Where are you at in your building program? Have you laid any foundation yet? You laid any foundation yet? You know for sure tonight God's inside of you. I'm not talking about this Baptist rigmarole. Huh? I was thinking about that in that pattern tonight. You ain't going to catch me down in this altar praying anybody in or reading them in. No, I ain't doing it. God can't get them in. I ain't getting them in. I get them in, somebody else get them out. I love what my old best friend up in North Carolina does. Somebody come forward in his church want to get saved. He get down there beside them, right in the ear. He said, what do you come for? They said, if I want to get saved. He'll whisper in the ear, tell God about it. And as he's getting up, he'll whisper back to him, tell me if you get anything. Oh, no. Building program. I was wondering tonight, if you've laid the foundation, you know God's inside of you, have you started up with the walls yet? Got that hedge? Make sure that hedge, that's what old Job was doing that morning when the judgment rained down, killed all of his youngins. Don't you remember? He was offering a sacrifice. They had a party the night before. All his kids had gone over. He had killed an animal. He was praying for them over there that they hadn't sinned. You know, first thing the devil killed when he come, killed all his animals. How come? Just stop that praying, that sacrifice junk. He don't like that. You remember when he gave him back everything? First thing he gave him back his animals. He started that sacrificing thing again. He listened to me. I was wondering, you got any walls up? Hey. He started putting a roof on you? I was wondering tonight, is any of you tonight doing that inside work? Or that gets really tedious when you start doing that ornate work inside. Very meticulous. That's when you've got to really get into the Word. And you've got to really be meticulous if you're doing that ornate work inside. That meticulous work in the inward life. Beginning to build Him a house. I was thinking about some time ago, my son's a builder. And of course, most builders, if you know anything about them, they'll build two or three houses along the way, and they'll keep selling them and building and selling until they finally build one where they ain't got no house payment. Yeah, he built one not long ago, 8,000 square foot, $1.3 million. Went down in South Georgia, tore down an old house over 100 years old, took all the wood, it's the floor in that house. I remember the first day I went in that house after they finished it. I'll remember as long as I live my statement that I made. This is too much house for me. Too much house for me. You listen to me tonight. I don't care what extreme you go to. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you strive to be holy. You'll never have God inside of you say, this is too much house for me. You've gone to too much extremes. You done got too holy. You going to church too much. You praying too much. You reading your Bible too much. You'll never have Him whisper to you, "Is it too much house for me?" He'll always be pointing out and say, "You know, this little old area over here could use some work." You say, "You know, up there in that corner, right up there in that corner, there's a few little webs up there. I wish you'd dust them out. I don't like them in my house." And if you got your mind until the day you die, if He's in there, He'll never tell you, "That's too much house for me." I'm talking about a promise worth pursuing. Knowing